If you have found Him incredible, amazing, why don't you give Him a praise that's worthy of His name? Oh, let us exalt His name together. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, choir, for that praise of the Savior. Amen. Once again, it's so good to have each one in this celebration service. And if you're a visitor and you don't have a church home, we'd just love to have you come back. And speaking of coming back, we do have service tonight. And I kind of said it as just a plug for the evening service. I said, come. And you'll find out why we have Easter night service, Easter evening service. And then I thought, so many people's asked me about that. What I'm going to say, I thought, well, I maybe need to preach about that. So come tonight, and Lord willing, the message is why you need to come to Easter evening service. So that'll be the message tonight. Amen. What I know you just got seated, but if you remember, the name on the church says Pentecostal, and that means we up and down a lot, you know. And I would like in just a second everybody to stand, and this is not dismissal, but go ahead and stand and just greet those around you. Just let them know you're glad they're here. Smile real big. While you're standing, if you take your Bible, John, Gospel of John, chapter 19. Gospel of John, chapter 19. There's bulletins and calendars in the foyer, and also there's usually some item they pass out to remember the celebration by today. Amen. I think the older that you get, the more you look forward to Easter. And praise the Lord. Easter's supposed to be in springtime, isn't it? But when you live in Ohio, you should not be disappointed to get up on an Easter morning and there not be bright sunshine and blooming flowers. But there's a lot of light on the inside today. John chapter 19, verse 40. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day. For the sepulcher was nigh at hand. Back in verse 41, it's being particular about the geographical location here of where Jesus was buried. It said where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulcher. In the garden, a new sepulcher. And that's where they laid him. I want to minister with this thought this morning, this Easter 2013. A grave in the garden. A grave in the garden. Father, we thank you for each one that's gathered here. And I'm so aware, Lord, of the need of your divine, eternal Spirit. Lord, your Spirit knows how to touch our hearts and speak to us. And I pray, Holy Spirit, through the preaching of the Word this morning, you let folks know how much you love them. You love them enough, you died. You gave your Son to die for them. But also let them know, Lord, that you're able by resurrection power to move and make a difference in their lives. Move with your Holy Spirit, God, and let us know your nearness in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. I don't want to sound morbid this morning, and this is definitely neither a commercial or a plug for Let's Go Green. But recently I had an interesting, unique experience. I had a cemetery owner, knowing that I was a pastor. Sometimes our work intersects. He said, I want to tell you something new we're doing. We're doing green burials. Oh yeah, I said. He said, yeah. He pointed to some woods on the other side of the cemetery. He said, that's where we're doing it. And I noticed a lot of little flags out, and I thought maybe he was putting in a pipeline. He said, oh no, we're marking it off. And he went on to explain to me, in green burial, this is for people that are environmentally conscious. He said, first of all, the graves are hand dug. You know, we don't want any exhaust from the backhoe, so they're hand dug. He said, number two, you have to be buried in this real simple, easily deteriorable wood. I took that to mean cardboard, but anyway. And he said, in that grave, there's no vault. And he said, the whole purpose is that everything quickly deteriorate. And he said, this way people can make their final contribution to this planet. Help this planet be green. And in your end, you can know that you have enriched the soil for the plants. I don't believe in messing up our world, and that's fine if folks want to do that, but my, green burials. There are truly different places to be buried. We've heard of burial at sea. Some of you being Christians have heard of that great awakener of Scotland, John Knox, the one that came to the shore and fell down and said, give me Scotland lest I die. I saw the other day where his grave is. It's in the parking lot of a business. And the person showing the grave, there was a car parked over it, so he had to get down like this and get the camera down there to see a little plaque on the parking lot, John Knox's grave. I've been in Westminster Abbey, and as you walk down the central aisle, there in the church floor is David Livingston's grave. If you're paying close attention, if you'll head north on Union Road, in the backyard over to the right on top of the hill, there's four or five tombstones there. There's a cemetery in their backyard. There is truly different places to be buried. Jesus was buried in a garden. And I know Scripture tells us in other Gospels this was actually Joseph of Arimathea's mausoleum, his tomb carved out of stone. But nevertheless, make no mistake, Jesus was buried in a garden. That black preacher, you know, they have a way of rhetoric that others of us don't have. He got to preaching. He said they took Jesus. With wicked hands they killed him. They hanged him on the cross. And then they went to bury him. And that's where they made their mistake. He said they made a mistake because they buried him in a garden. That's a mistake because of by burying him in the garden, you've got to understand, he said. A garden is where you put things in the ground and then they come up again. The grave was in a garden. They made a mistake because they put him there dead. But he rose again with life. Everlasting. Aren't you glad he did it? Amen. You see, it matters where you choose to be buried. I'm not talking about just your body upon physical death, but when the very inside of you, because of life, the very inside of you has died, your emotions have died, the reason for living has died. Maybe it's the results of sin, because the wages of sin is death. But something has died. Maybe your dreams, your aspirations, your hopes,
Maybe it was a relationship. It's dead. It matters where you bury yourself. I'd like to tell you today, don't bury yourself in this wicked world, but bury yourself in God. Amen. Because God is a place where things come alive. Hallelujah. A grave in the garden. I want you to believe through this message there's a place to bury the death of your life. There's a place where you can be resurrected to live an abundant life and to live eternally in the presence of God. We have a story here. We have a story how he was buried in a grave in a garden. The Bible says that Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it upon his head and smote him with their hands and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." Pilate therefore went forth and said unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know I find no fault with him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold, the man." When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he hath made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate saith unto him, "Know you not, don't you speak unto me? Know you not that I have the power to crucify thee or release thee?" Jesus said, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that hath delivered thee unto me hath the greater sin." Amen. I'm telling you, that's true. He had no sin. He was not dying for his sin. He was dying for our sin. When Pilate therefore heard that, he was set on releasing him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate heard that, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in a judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover and about the sixth hour. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This title then read many of the Jews, because the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh unto the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews unto Pilate, "Don't write the King of the Jews. Write that he saith, I am the King of the Jews." Pilate saith unto them, "What I have written, I have written, King of the Jews." Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier his part, and also his coat. Now his coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots." These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, loved. He saith unto his mother, behold thy son, and to the disciple, behold thy mother. Then that disciple from that day took her into his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. There was set there a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. Hallelujah. Jesus, after he had received the vinegar, he saith, it is finished. Aren't you glad he said those words? It is finished. Amen. The Jews therefore, that the body should not remain on the cross on the preparation day, the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day. Amen. They went into Pilate and said and besought him that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and break the legs of the first and of the other that was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs, but one of the soldiers with the spear pierced his side, and forth came there out blood and water. Oh, what an awful death. And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true, and he know that he saith this true. These things were done that the scripture might be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, amen, these things all happened according to the scripture. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, went into Pilate and besought him for the body of Christ. And Pilate gave him leave, and he took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, and brought a mixture of myrrh and alloys, and they took these spices, and I read you the text. They took the body of Jesus and wound it. That Nicodemus that came first to Jesus by night and heard the words, you must be born again. Here he is at the end with these spices, with Joseph of Arimathea. They brought the body and the spices together and wound it in linen clothes as the manner of the Jews was to bury. But they looked around for a place to bury him, and there where he was crucified, near at hand was a garden, a sepulcher in a garden, and there they laid Jesus in that sepulcher in the garden. It looked like the end. If the story had have ended there, it would have been the end. But what looked like an end, we buried something in the garden, was just a beginning, because 3 days later, what had been buried came alive, and he ever lives this morning. Oh, what a story. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, into the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to that other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and so they both ran together, and that other disciple did outrun Peter, and he came first to the sepulchre, and he stooping down and looking in, saith, the linen clothes lie, yet he went not in. Then cometh that Simon Peter following him, and looked into the sepulchre, and there he saw that napkin that was about his head, not lined with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture, or they didn't realize it, that he must rise again from the dead. The disciples went away again into their home, but Mary stood without the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre in the garden, and seeth two angels in white, the one sitting at the head and the other at the feet. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She said, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus spoken, broken. She turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith, Rabboni, which is being interpreted, Master. Jesus said, Touch me not. I've not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father. I ascend to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were gathered for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they had seen the Lord. They buried him in a garden, but he lives. He's amongst them once again. He's speaking peace. He's changing lives. He's changing tomorrows. He's changing the future. You can bury him in the garden, but you put him in the wrong place. The garden is the place where God causes things to come alive. Oh, what a story. Here's the truth of what happened in the garden. The black preacher had it right. They made their mistake when they allowed Joseph and the followers to bury him in a garden. You see, Jesus had previously described to his disciples his coming death and resurrection in terms of planting a seed. Look what he says in John 12. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He was preparing them. He said, My death is like burying a seed. And yes, there's death. That shell rots. But from that buried seed and the death of the seed, something pushes up out of the ground. Hallelujah. He said, They will bury me, but I'll come bursting forth. Put a lifeless seed into lifeless ground. And as the shell rots, God ignites that spark of life. And suddenly bursting from the lifeless soil, bursting from the decaying shell, is new life, vibrant and green. Jesus was talking about himself. He would die. They would put a lifeless body in the ground. But he was coming up out of there. He's going to push right up on out of there. You say, Why get excited about that? Well, that's exciting in itself. But you've got to remember what he said. Because I live, ye shall live also. If it can happen to Christ, it can happen to you in the midst of your death and your dying and sin and darkness and being buried by every kind of trouble and sin. There is something God can do in your heart like he does in a seed, and you can come forth and know life like you've never known it. And that is the application why we need the grave in the garden. Jesus was speaking of his actual death, but he gave it a broader application. He said in that same set of verses in verse 25, He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it into life eternal. When you say, I don't need God, you say, I love my life. I know best what to do with my life. I know it's got trouble, but this is about me. This is my life. I'll take care of it. I'll find meaning. I'll find purpose. I'll find joy. Jesus says, No, if you love your life, you try to hold on to it, you're going to lose it. You'll never know life. Oh, but if you'll reject your self-life, if you'll reject your life in the world, if you'll reject your sinful life and come to me and die to the world, you'll come alive in me to life. life eternal. Oh, what an application. You see, it's that way. Amen. If you take your life and put it in God, because truly, each of our lives, each of our souls is a seed. Amen. All around us is death and that which kills us. But our lives are seeds. The problem is, Paul said, when we don't know Christ, when we're in sin, he says that we are dead in trespasses and sin. If you don't know Jesus this morning, personally, there's a deadness in your heart. You know that. There's a deadness and a dullness in your emotions, in your thinking, in your heart. Maybe it goes beyond that. Your dreams have died. Your hopes have died. Your relationships are dead. What little joy you had is dead. You're just dead on the inside. If you know what I'm talking about, first is to admit there's a deadness there. But secondly, there's the question, where are you going to bury yourself? You've admitted there's a deadness in there. Amen. The question is now, where will you bury yourself? I've already told you this world is a place of death. I want to make it clear one more time. In this world, things do not come alive. Things die. I'm talking about in the sin and the pleasures and the ways and the ideas and the philosophies of the world. That's not a place of life. People don't go there and come alive. People go to the world and die. Where are you going to bury yourself? If you say, I'll lose myself in sin, I'll lose myself in self-way, I'll lose myself in living the way I want to live, you're going to find nothing but continual death. I plant a vegetable garden every year out here. Amen. But to take your life and put it into this world expecting anything but death would be like me this year when I get ready to plant my vegetable garden. Say, forget that garden spot. I'm going to go over into this asphalt parking lot and I'm going to poke a few holes in it and I'm going to plant my seed in the asphalt parking lot. I'm telling you, when you put your heart and life into the world, it's a place of death. You might as well plant seed in asphalt. You say, don't you know, Pastor, there's pleasures out there. There's joy out there. There's a good time. Yes, there is, but it's astroturf. I said it's astroturf. It's not real. It'll pass away. Amen. You'll admit there's death. Where are you going to bury yourself? Amen. I got a suggestion for you. The world is death, but Christ is life. Bury the ruin of your life. Bury the wreckage of your life. Bury the hopelessness of your life. Don't bury it in the world. Bury it in God. And in the garden of God's grace, you can come alive to abundance. Life. Oh, hallelujah. I'm just about finished this morning, but I want you to think about these things. When we were still living in Missouri, we had this guy, and it's hard to get a good lawn there, admittedly. It's about 10% dirt and about 90% rocks. And his front lawn was just a mess of dead grass, weeds, thistles. So he decided he wanted to have a good looking lawn. And they told him how he needed to do it, you know, till it up and scrape off that layer and put a good layer of topsoil. And they told him how to do it, but he had a better plan. He wouldn't got a big drum of diesel. He said, they told me I got to get rid of all the old stuff first. And he soaked his lawn with diesel. And it worked. It killed the weeds. It killed the grass. But for years you could drive by his house. Every spring he'd get out there and rake and plant seed. And never came up. That's that world out there. You keep putting your life and your dreams and your aspirations, you keep planting it in a place that can never bring life. Oh, but there's a garden of God's love and a garden of God's grace. And if you'll choose to give your life to Him, abandon self to Christ, I want to tell you, there is life that can come from within. I've got an odd appeal this morning. If you don't know Jesus, I want to give you this appeal this morning. Come bury what's left of your life in Christ and see if there's not a resurrection. Oh, just a minute. The death. Paul said this is the way it happens in Romans 6. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Get this, the next verse. For if we have been planted, or literally, if we have been buried together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. You bury your past life. You know, it looks like a lot of people would be so thrilled to hear this, to know that you can bury your past life. You can bury your life of sin. You can bury your hopeless existence. But Paul said if we would bury it, die like He died, we'd also experience a resurrection like He experienced. How many one day experience that resurrection? Hallelujah. I don't know if you've thought of it before in terms of burying yourself, but thank God there's a garden where you can do so. Would you come, music? I've already mentioned it twice, but the Bible says that one reason that they buried Him in that particular sepulcher in the garden was because it was near at hand. We have visitors here this morning, and I don't mean this derogatory in any stretch or facetious, but for some of you it's been a long time since you've been in a place like this. But I want to tell you, by coming here this morning, you came to the place where at near at hand, near at hand, there's a grave in the garden where you can bury the death of your life. We use these stairs right here as an altar, but I want you to think of this altar as the sepulcher in the garden nigh at hand. There's a place you can bury your life and come alive in Jesus Christ. Years ago, there was a man in Italy, centuries ago. He began to speak against Christianity, claimed that he did believe in God, was an agnostic. Went on and on and on, just trying to rail against Christianity. He said, I don't believe that Jesus resurrected. And I don't believe any human will resurrect. I just don't believe it's possible. But he must have had a little doubt, because he left in his will these instructions. He said, I'm so much against the idea of Christ, and I'm so much against the idea of the resurrection, to show you that I'll never resurrect, and so that I never will, I've instructed that after they put the dirt on my grave, this huge slab of stone be put on top. And that way, not God, not anybody can resurrect me. They did that. Huge slab of a stone. It looked really secure, but centuries later, minister went there and had heard the story, went to the grave. There was a huge oak tree growing right beside that, or right out of actually that slab of stone. And that slab of stone was all broken in pieces. And what inevitably happened, or undeniably happened, is when they buried that man, before they put the slab of stone on, an acorn got underneath it. And over time, that acorn germinated. And that oak tree began to grow, burst through that hardness of that rock. I don't know what all God's message was to that man who claimed to be an agnostic, but I know what it is to me, because sometimes people feel like their lives are already buried and dead, and there's no hope. Nothing can give me hope. Nothing can give me life. Nothing can give me a new beginning. Nothing. I'm buried. I'm encrusted. The slab of stone is upon me. But I'm telling you, if you turn to God, you'd find out He can cause life. Life right in the very depths of your soul to begin to grow. I'm talking about resurrection power. I'm talking about something stronger than an oak tree growing. I'm talking about something that can get in the depth of your heart, and life can come in and burst through the stone and the facade and the hopelessness and the helplessness, and you can have life in the place of death. Hallelujah. Don't try to hold on to your life. Bury it in the garden of God. Would you stand across the building? Let's worship Him. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's praise Him. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to do His work. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Do Your work. Move. Convince. Not to hold on to their life. The remnant. The ruin. Not to hold on to the pride, the self-sufficiency of their life, but to recognize that their life truly is death. Lord, to bring it to You, to bury it in You, that You could resurrect the person You intend them to be with abundant life now and everlasting life to come. Holy Spirit, do Your work. Would You just bow your hearts for just a minute? I've preached a message. But if you would, I'd like you to do those two things. If you don't know Christ, this isn't sour medicine. This is wonderful news. You can live. First, you would admit that you're not really living. You're existing. But as Paul said of the lady that lived in sin, she's dead while she liveth. In other words, she's breathing air. But spiritually, she's dead. Are you here this morning? You'd like to, number one, admit the life without Christ you have chosen has brought death to your heart, death to your dreams, death to your relationship, just death, hopelessness. That's number one. But number two, the good news is I've got a suggestion where to bury that old life of yours. It's in Christ. And the sepulcher is nigh at hand, because I believe we can consider these steps of an altar, these lilies up here symbolizing the resurrected life of Christ. I've got a suggestion this morning. Your life may be in ruin and wreck and death, but you can bury it in Christ. And this morning, we won't even have to wait 3 days. This morning, you can experience resurrection life. Hallelujah. Are you here? You've not yet surrendered your life to Christ. You've not yet given yourself to Christ. Would you like to come? I promise you, as soon as you get and kneel at this step, there'll be folks here to pray with you and give you instruction. But I'm telling you, there's a place to take your death this morning. Are you tired of death? Church, would you pray across the building? Ask the Holy Spirit to do His work. This isn't to spotlight anyone. Amen. This is just an opportunity to say to the old life, the old person. In fact, Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. If any person be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. You'd like to come and bury your old life that you could live in Christ. No resurrection power in your life and your soul this morning. Are you here? You'd like to come. Anyone in the building? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyone in the building, you'd like to come. Amen. Young or old, you're tired. I've already preached a sermon. I'm not going to reiterate. But I'm telling you, everything in this world is death. It kills, it destroys. But in Him, there is life. And you just make that simple concession and say, preacher, I know what you're talking about. I feel that death. I feel that death. In fact, Scripture talks about an eternity without God as a second death. It's a death that keeps on going. But I'm telling you, you don't have to have a death that keeps on going. You can have a life that keeps on going. Anyone here like to come? Oh, hallelujah. I want to ask the church to begin to come. Those that like to come and thank the Lord that they have found new life in Him. And as they're coming, if you're here and you'd like that life, would you just come with those that are coming to pray? Thank you for coming. I just wanted to tell you the good news. You don't have to live with death. You can have life from the inside springing up. A newness of life. A new way to live. A new way to think. A new way to be. Newness of life. Lord, we praise You. Are there others that like to come and pray with the church and say, I'm going to bury my life in God? You've got to give it up. You've got to give it up. Jesus said, if you hold on to it, you'll know death. But give it up to God. Give it to God. You can bury that old life this morning.
just conceive. Sin has brought death. It always does. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Are there others who'd like to come and bury the death of your life? Know the life of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. I've just begun to live since God's amazing grace came in. I've just begun to live. Oh, yes. You could bury that old life this morning. You could bury that old life this morning. Not too late. Are there others that would like to come bury your life to the Lord?
I'll give you rest.
Oh yes, I'll give you rest.
Come to
I'll
me.
Give you rest.
I'll give you peace.
Oh, don't hold on to your life.
Don't find
it's a life of death. Bury it in God.
Oh,
surrender it to God. There's a life that can break that stone that's encrusting your heart. There's life that can break through that stone that hinders your life.